The makers of Super Shell Gasoline invite you to Shell Chateau, where your host is the world's outstanding entertainer, Al Jolson, with an all-star bill of famous guest stars. We switch you now to Shell Chateau, where you'll be greeted by Al Jolson.
Good evening, friends. Here's where your worry ends. Where everyone says, good evening, friends. Your name somehow I can't recall right now, but know you all I saw. Good evening, friends. Hier, der Flamme und ein Madame. Monsieur Berry und Charles Berry. Come on, pal. Wee-boo. I know you all I do. Good evening, friends. Fill up the call and turn the lights down low. Do what ourselves can know. Good evening, friends. We're on the air just once a week, you know. Each week a brand new show for you, my friend. The music starts. The curtain parts. An hour of fun for everyone. Although it's true that I cannot see you, I almost feel I do. Good evening, friends. Thank you, folks. Thank you. It is Saturday night again, and it's a pleasure to welcome you to Shell Chateau once more. And I know you're going to enjoy yourself for tonight, honestly. I feel we have another great show for you. For music, we have Victor Young and his orchestra. And I must tell you, folks, that last night, Victor went to a party. Everybody that is anybody in Hollywood was there. Marlon Dietrich, Loretta Young, Marion Davies, and many other beautiful women. How Victor got in there, I don't know. Wait a minute, you heard nothing yet. They finally got the plain kissing game, with the understanding that if a girl was chosen to kiss a fellow, she had the privilege of either kissing him or giving him a dollar. Would you believe it, folks? Victor came home that night with $217. For song, we have Miss Betty Borden. And besides being a great little singer of songs, Miss Borden is one of the most tolerant girls I know. This afternoon, she walked into her boyfriend's home and found him kissing the maid. And to show you how tall Miss Borden is, she closed both eyes. It was a maid's eyes. For drama, we have Ralph Bowles and Heather Angel, two of the outstanding stars of the screen. Incidentally, Mr. Bowles and Miss Angel have been man and wife for about a year. The other evening, I invited them to my home to see my baby. Well, they came over, and Miss Angel was so thrilled. She took the baby in her arms, pinched his cheek, and said, "Hello, you little mammy singer to be." I'll tell you, you've never seen a woman make such a fuss over a baby. But the funny thing was that Ralph stood by the door and wouldn't come in the room. Miss Angel turned and said, "Ralph, why don't you come in? You don't have to be afraid. It isn't touching." For start tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have an outstanding novelty. Miss Lois Perry, one of the best female baseball players in the whole world. And let me tell you something. Victor Young's father was a great ball player, too. In fact, Victor was his first error. For comedy, we have one of the greatest comedians that radio has ever known. That premier duck salesman, Joe Tenner. Well, folks, it seems that Joe finally got rid of his duck because tonight he came to Shell Chateau with a cat in his arms. And he kept shaking the cat and saying, "Come on, cough up that money. Do you hear me? Come on, cat, cough up that money." I walked over to Joe and I said, "Joe Fenner, are you crazy? Do you actually mean you're trying to get money out of a cat?" He said, "Sure. I was at my brother's house last night while we were playing poker. I heard him say there was $8 in a kitty and I'm going to get it." And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to dedicate my first song tonight to one of the finest personalities in pictures. It's a song I sang for you several weeks ago, but any good song bears repetition. It is called Rose in Her Hair. And I'm singing it tonight in honor of Miss Marion Davies, who stars in that famous picture, Page Miss Glory. If you please, Victor. Love is a rose, and it grows like a rose. I found a rose nestled in someone's hair. Sweet was the rose, and never a maid was so fair. In her eyes there was moonlight, and a rose in her hair. In my arms there was no one, so I just put her there. On her lips was a promise, in my heart was a prayer. When I finally went, I went home with a scent of the rose in her hair. Love was in bloom, in the gloom of the night. Bright was the moon on the night we were there. Love was in bloom, and so was the rose in her hair. On her lips was a promise, in my heart was a prayer. When I finally went, I went home with a scent of the rose in her hair. Ladies and gentlemen, every once in a while, the United States of America goes dirty. If it isn't miniature golf, it's crossword puzzles. If it isn't that, it's backgammon or jigsaw. Well, sir, in the last few months, this country has started a new craze. And the new craze is the old game of softball. Every kid has played it, but now they have teams, men's teams and girls' teams, and how the fans turn out to watch them. The craze started in the West, and Hollywood has gone for it. Line and sinker. Every night the picture celebrities flock to the various parks and plank down the magnificent sum of 10 cents to watch the game. It's a mania. And so tonight we're happy to present one of the most sensational softball players in Hollywood, a pitcher, and in dresses. She's a girl. Here she is, platinum blonde Lois Perry in Poison. Come on over here, Lois, and stand right here in the pitcher's box. There now. Tell me about the game that you play. Say, by the way, I've never seen a game, so naturally I don't even know the name of your team.
Chappelle's Cafe Team.
Chappelle's Cafe Team. You pitch for a restaurant, huh?
Yeah.
And I suppose you work there when you're not playing ball?
No, the cafe just sponsors the team.
All players have sponsors, too, like Shell Chateau. Well, now, Lars, don't let me catch you trying to plug that cafe in Shell Chateau.
You mean you don't want me to make it Shell Cafe?
Mm-hmm, I see. I've got a female Jack Benny on my hands. But tell me this, Lars, how many games have you pitched this season?
45 since the early part of May.
45 games? Gee whiz. How many of those games did you win?
38.
Well, that makes you twice as good as Dizzy Dean. All right, Lois. We all know you're a great pitcher, but pitchers, as a rule, don't hit. Tell me something. How is your batting average?
I'm batting .345 this year.
Batting .345? Say, that's about as good as the best batter in the American League right now. But tell me something. What about home runs?
Well, it's pretty hard to knock a softball over the fence.
Yeah? Well, how many homers have you made?
Six.
Six? And how many homers has the home run leader of the league made?
Six. I'm the leader.
Now, listen, Jack Benny. Listen, never mind that clowning. I'm supposed to be a comedian on this program, you know. Ladies and gentlemen. this little girl is the leading pitcher, the leading batter, and the leading home run hitter in the league. Well, Lars, all I can say is, it's kind of bad that you don't get paid for playing ball.
I know, but when we win, we get a free dinner at the self-cafe.
Cut it out. We'll just cut it out. All right, but where do you eat when you lose?
At the self-cafe.
Give in. We'll live. I give up. But tell me, Lois, what's the biggest thrill you've had since you've been playing this game?
It was a game we played about a month ago, Mr. Dalton, against the Inglewood Choppers.
The Inglewood Choppers. I suppose next week you play Macy's Basement, huh?
No, that's really the name of the team.
All right, Lois. I was only kidding. Tell me what was thrilling about the game. Did you win?
Yes, 12 to 1.
12 to 1? Look, Lois, that doesn't sound so exciting, 12 to 1. What's so thrilling about a score that's 12 to 1?
Well, you see, they didn't get any hits off me.
A no-hit game? And you pitched it? Why, that's the greatest thing in baseball. But tell me, how did they happen to get that one run if they didn't make any hits?
Well, I walked a few.
How many?
Now, do we have to go into that?
Oh, you kidder. Well, no, I mean, seriously, how many men, how many girls? You got me mixed up here. How many girls did you walk?
I walked 12.
12? Well, how many did you strike out?
11.
I say that's nearly a record, even in the big leagues. But tell me, I want to know how they made that run, you know, that one run.
All right. It was the end of the last inning. You know, I was pretty excited being so close to a no-hit game and everything.
Yeah?
And just three more outs to make.
Go ahead.
Well, the first girl up in the last inning took a terrible swing at the ball and knocked it a mile. I was scared stiff. But Irene Passerini...
Are you giving me the double talk here? Irene Passerini?
Our left fielder ran a mile and caught it.
Uh-huh.
That was the only ball that got as far as the outfield.
Well, I guess you kept all the others in close, huh?
Yes.
Go on, Lois. One out in the last inning and two to go.
See, I struck out the second girl.
Well, two down and one to go.
Well, then I got a little nervous, I guess, and I passed the next two girls.
Oh, that was tough.
Yes, and not only that, but one of them managed to get the third. I don't remember how.
I guess she walked there. Well, so now there's a girl on first and a girl on third. Go on and two out.
That's right. And as the next batter steps to the plate, I catch a signal for a trick play.
A trick play? You got those two, huh?
Sure, she signaled for a pitch out. You know, a ball that's wide of the plate, and I gave it to her, and she whipped it down the second.
Then the girl on third, I guess, got it for home, huh?
Sure, that's what she's supposed to do. She dashed it for home, thinking we're trying to make a play at second.
Yeah?
But we don't. As soon as our second baseman gets the ball, she whips it right back to the catcher to get the runner to play.
That's a swell play, but tell me, what happened?
Catcher must have.
Oh, that's too bad. But at least the run wasn't your fault. What happened after that?
Well, the girls in the infield all came and gave me a little pep talk, you know, take it easy, Carrie, and all that.
Uh-huh.
And I struck out the next batter.
Oh, that was a real ball game. But what I want to know is this, Lois. When do you pitch your game?
In about an hour and a half. I'm pitching for the Hollywood girls team at Thompson Field tonight in the first game of the Hearst tournament.
Wait a minute. Did you say you were pitching for the Hollywood team?
Yes.
Well, now, Lois, listen, you can't fool me. I know what team you're picking for, and you needn't be afraid to say it either. You're picking for Chappelle's Cafe. You hear that? Chappelle's Cafe. Say, maybe they'll give me a free dinner, too. I know, Lois.
That would be swell, Mr. Dolphin.
All right, Lois. I'll be out there tonight rooting for you. So long, honey, and good luck. Jack Penn and Peggy Gardner, the boy and the girl who sing here in Shelter Cove. Well, over Labor Day, they had the time of their lives. They went to the beach on a picnic. And while Jack was out fishing, Peggy cooked the supper. Well, when Jack came back, he found Peggy crying her pretty eyes out. And he says, "What's the matter, honey?" And he said, "Look at the biscuits I made for supper. They're burnt to a crisp." Jack said, "Why, Peggy, how did that happen?" She said, "I don't know. I followed the recipe. It says, bring to boil on brisk fire, stirring for 2 minutes, then beat it for 10 minutes. I beat it," she said. "When I came back, the biscuits were ruined." Well, wait a minute. You ain't heard the half of it, folks. Jack ate the biscuits, and today he's got a pain around his heart. He thinks it's love. Anyway, now the kids are going to sing One Kiss from the New Moon, Jack Penn and Peggy Gardner. opportunity to the nicest people in Hollywood. They've both been in pictures now for several years. You've seen them in dozens of times. You'll be seeing them again soon in RKO's screen version of The Three Musketeers. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Heather Angel and Mr. Ralph Forbes in private life, Mr. and Mrs. Ralph Forbes. Angel and Mr. Falls are presenting tonight a scene from A.A. Milne's very charming play, Michael and Mary. The curtain rises on a scene in a corner of the British Museum in London. A girl is sitting on a bench. She looks tired and unhappy. Suddenly, a young man walks briskly on the scene, looks at his watch, glances around him, and then addresses the girl.
I say, do you mind if I sit down? I mean right at this end, of course. Well, what I mean is I'm not trying to... Well, the fact is I'm meeting somebody else. Oh, please. Well, that's all right, isn't it?
Yes.
Good. I say, don't you wake up sometimes, earthly happy, and feel you simply must talk, and you tell your landlady what a jolly day it is, and you tell the policeman at the corner what a perfectly whipping day it is, and you tell the bus conductor what an absolutely priceless day it is, and you feel you know everybody you see, and you want to smack them on the back.
Are you fearfully happy?
Are there, aren't you?
No.
I say, I'm awfully sorry. But would you be happier if I went away? Only, you see, I said I'd meet her here, so I should have to hang about in the office.
It isn't that.
Hang it, I know, I said Tuesday.
Is that why you're so happy?
Oh, not especially. I mean, I don't suppose for a moment she's ever thought...
Do you think being married is a very happy thing to be?
Well, I suppose it depends on whom you marry.
I suppose it does. But how do you know?
Well, how do you mean?
This girl, how do you know anything about her?
Well, I've known her for years. 6 months, anyway.
You mean you've taken her out to lunch?
Oh, yes. That's why I'm waiting for her now.
And that she behaved nicely at lunch.
I suppose so. I hadn't noticed.
That's all it would be to notice, isn't it?
I'm sorry. You know, I'm not quite following this.
Oh, it doesn't matter. You don't really know anything about people just meeting. It's just chance. The whole thing's chance. The whole world's chance.
I see. You're not crying, are you?
Yes.
Oh, no, no, no. You must. Why, not on my birthday.
Oh, what can I do? What can I do? I can't just die.
Look here, you're not going to die. Now, hold tight onto that. You're all right. Now, you say to yourself, I'm all right now because I found somebody and I'm going to talk it over with him. Whatever it is, it'll help you to talk it over with somebody.
Yes, I'm all right now. Goodbye. I'm glad you're happy.
No, I say, look here.
Oh, I hate you. I hate you. Oh, you horrible men.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, you horrible gentlemen. He was a gentleman, too. He always behaved beautifully at lunch.
Oh, I see. And then you married him.
And then I married him.
I didn't think of you as married. You're so young.
I can't show you the wedding ring because I pawned it a month ago. What do you think I got for it?
Oh, don't. This is horrible.
Half a crown. Looked like gold, but it wasn't. Just straight edge, like him.
I always wonder how any woman can marry any man. Did your husband just...
Just left me.
But how? Why?
I don't know. He had all there was, I suppose. Me and little money, I'd say. The fun of it all.
Well, what are you going to do? Try and get a job somewhere?
I've been trying to ever since he left me.
Oh.
Aren't I doing this well? Here's my purse. Not a penny in it. Wasn't it clever of me to empty it before I came out? Aren't I doing it well?
Stop it. If you're not telling me the truth, then there isn't no truth in the world and nothing matters. You are telling me the truth, aren't you?
Yes.
Where do you live?
Nowhere. They turned me out this morning.
Oh, good Lord.
No, they've got to live too. They've got their own children to think of. They've been very kind.
Yes, but dash it, you can't just turn people out into the street. What did they think you were going to do?
Well, I told them something. They knew it wasn't true, but they had to pretend it was.
And you really have nobody in the world to go to and nothing in the world but what you've got on?
Nobody. Nothing.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. How do you get into a workhouse? Oh, but you can't just go into a workhouse when you're young and alive.
Well, you're not going into one anyway. Now, let me think. You see, I've only got...
Hello, Michael, there you are. Am I late?
Oh, hello.
I'm not late, am I?
Oh, no, 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 it's quite all right. How are you, Vi? This is Miss Cunliffe, who I was telling you about.
How do you do? I think I must be going now.
Oh, no, you can't.
Well, why don't you introduce me properly, Michael?
Yes. This is,
I think I must be going now. Goodbye.
Oh, but you can't. You simply can't. Now, I'd never forgive myself.
You needn't worry. There's nothing to worry about. All I told you was a lie.
Ross, I don't believe it.
It was. That's how I make my living.
You're lying now. You weren't before.
No. That's how I make my living.
Don't be silly.
Really, Michael. Is this the great play you've always been going to write? You've given me a very small part in it.
Couldn't I join in?
Oh, dash it, Vi, this isn't a joke. Here's a poor girl absolutely starving.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
But surely she would know, Michael.
I tell you, she's absolutely starving.
But then how simple. If she's absolutely starving, take her out to lunch.
But that's a good idea. Let's all have lunch together and then we can talk the thing over.
Oh, Michael, really? Too sweet of you to ask me, but I'm afraid I'm engaged. Do take Mr., your friend, out instead. I'm engaged, too.
Oh, what is the matter with you all? You're lunching with me, Vi. It was all arranged.
Oh, no, Michael. That was yesterday. Don't you remember? We had a delightful lunch. I'm meeting somebody else here today. It's a great meeting place, the British Museum, isn't it, Miss? I do wish I knew your name. Or is it a secret?
Weston.
Thank you. Michael, let me introduce you to your friend, Miss Weston. This is Mr. Michael Rowe. Well, I must fly. Gracious, I'm nearly half an hour late. Goodbye. Have a good lunch.
No, really, I can't. Look here, Vi.
I can't stop a minute here, boy. I'm absolutely starving, too.
Oh.
I'm sorry. She's angry now. But you can write and explain to her. Goodbye. Thank you for being friendly.
Well, wait a minute. You're not going.
Don't you dare touch me.
Oh, that's silly of you.
Can't I have my pride, too, like your friend? Wasn't she proud? Well, so am I. If it comes to pride, I'm as good as she is, even if I'm not a lady.
Listen to me. If you don't understand that all you've suffered and dreaded and so bravely fought for put you far above the McCunnelis of this world, then you'll never understand anything.
Well, I've got my pride, and I'm not going to take money from you if that's what you think. Why should I? A stranger like you?
But that's pride. It's nothing to be proud of. It's like the wedding ring he gave you, pretending to be gold. If you were shipwrecked in mid-Atlantic, would you refuse to be rescued until you'd been introduced to the captain of the ship? No. Well, you're shipwrecked now. My sails just come over the horizon. I say, let's thank God for it.
Oh, I thought you were only a silly boy at first. You're a man, aren't you?
One of those honorable men.
No. Promise you'll make it up with her, all right?
No. Don't let's talk about it.
But I couldn't bear it if I thought...
Oh, good heavens. I'm not in love with every girl I have lunch with. Now, listen to me.
I'll do anything you say.
Good. Well, now, I've got £200 in the bank, which my mother left me. I'm trying to be a writer, you see. That's what Miss Gunner was kidding me about. Even if I don't earn anything for a year, I can almost live on half my balance. Well, I can't quite if I try. The question is, can you live on the other half?
What? Me live for a year on £100?
Yes.
Well, of course.
Yes, I suppose I need something and more, or... Well, anyway, I can do it, and I will. Now, that gives us a year each, apart from what either of us earns in that time, which is bound to be something. How old are you?
20.
You child. And I'm 26. Both young enough to do anything. And we've got £100 each. Looks good enough. How about it?
You mean you... You're going to give me half of all you have in the whole world.
Oh, don't keep saying all you have in all the world as if it included a couple of yachts and a coal mine. I'm going to give you the extremely small sum of £100 on certain conditions.
I'm glad there are conditions. Make them hard.
Well, naturally, I should want to know how you're getting on. So my first condition is that we meet once every week, say every Tuesday, because today is Tuesday, and have the cheapest possible dinner together, or lunch if you prefer it. And tell each other what sort of luck we've had during the last week. Agreed?
Yes.
Now it's your turn, Mrs. Weston.
Well, Weston is my maiden name. Mary Weston. So I'm either Miss Weston or Mrs. you mind if I keep to the Western? I hate the other so. And I haven't got a wedding ring.
Good idea.
All right. Now, my condition. And don't give me the £100 all at once. Give me whatever it is every Tuesday. £1 something.
You swear faithfully to come every Tuesday?
Why, of course. Thank you. That was sweet of you.
What?
Knowing I should come if I had all the money at once. And being afraid I mightn't if I had to come for it each week.
Oh, well, but it's obvious.
I can't forget. There was one other.
By the way.
Might I just once kiss your hand?
Oh, no, please. Please. Oh, you are so very sweet. Oh, don't cry. Don't cry. Come on now. Let's come and get that lunch.
The other night, I saw a private showing of a picture called Shipmates Forever, directed by Frank Bozzeghi, the same director who gave you Seventh Heaven, Farewell to Arms, and more recently, that great success, Flirtation Walk. Well, when the picture was over, I heard nothing but raves from all the folks around me. How charming, how romantic, what a swell story. And of course, that made me mad, because who do you think is in the picture? Ruby Keeler. But it also has Dick Powell, Louis Stone, and lots of other great picture stars, too. You folks in Shell's at all won't be able to see Shipmates Forever until next month, October. But since I saw a preview of the picture, I'd like to give you a preview of some of the songs. The first one is called I'd Like to Take Orders From You. One, two. When someone tells me to march or to halt, my soul rebels. I'm that way to a fault. The rules and regulations, what I obey. Then I met you, and I knew right away. If you're the captain, I'll be the crew. Cause I'd just love to take orders from you. You blow the bugle, and I'll jump through. Oh, how I'd love to take orders from you. I know that rules one make a fool. That's one thing I have learned. But I'm going in for discipline wherever you're concerned. If you say kiss me, that's what I'll do. But I just love to take orders from you. If you're the captain, I'll be the crew. Cause I just love to take orders from you. You blow the bugle, and I'll jump through. Oh, how I'd love to take orders from you. I know that rules one made for fools. That's one thing I have learned. But I'm going in for discipline wherever you're concerned. If you say kiss me, that's what I'll do. Cause I just love to take orders.
This is Cheryl Gilson, folks, and we're back in Chelsea Hall where the show is going on. Tonight we're presenting Joe Turner, Heather Angel and Ralph Hall, Lars Perry, Betty Bowden, and Victor Young in his music. And I must tell you a little secret about Victor. Oh, you don't know this. Victor's been keeping company with a very wealthy girl, and he wants to marry her. In fact, he's gotten so serious, he went up to her father and he asked him for his daughter's hand in marriage. And her father said, young man, I want to tell you something. My daughter happens to be a very wealthy girl, and I want to ask you a question. Would you marry my daughter if she didn't have any money? And Victor said, I'd marry your daughter if she didn't have a penny to her name. And her father kicked him down the stairs and said, get out of my house. I don't want no idiots in my family.
Hello, idiots.
And now Victor's going to play for you a game, the medley he played here in Shelter Toe several weeks ago. Evidently, a lot of you regulars who come here every Saturday night are very fond of the music of Jerome Corn, because a lot of you have been at the Victor to play Showboat Medley again. So here it is. We never refuse anything. A medley of Old Man River, Make Believe, and Why Do I Love You? Victor, play it, will you?
is a little girl I'm sure you've heard many times on the radio. And I'm very happy to say that evidently her work has found favor with some important people because in a week, she's going east for a part in a Broadway show. And just to show those Broadway slickers that I'm making any mistakes, I wanted to sing a song for you folks here in Shelterdo tonight. My name is Betty Borden, and I know you like her. She's going to sing a new song that is really very cute. The title is The Gentleman Obviously Doesn't Believe in Love.
Here is a tale of a pale young fellow with a faraway look in his eye. Incredibly fine. And comes as quite a surprise. Doubtless he sounds most unusual. He's as rare as flowers that bloom in the fall. But it's true he exists. Oh, he really does exist. But that is just about all. Oh, the gentleman obviously doesn't believe in making love. Shrinks if you mention events in the past or two. It's hard to conceive that he doesn't believe in stealing a kiss. Like me and you and you. Oh, the gentleman obviously doesn't indulge in alcohol. Whenever he lunches, one punches our old taboo. It seems he's not cursed with that heavenly thirst for bottle delight. Like me and you and you. Oh, he's never been known to gamble. He doesn't take weekend trips. In lover's lane, he won't ramble. And a cigarette has never caressed his lips. He frowns on the latest dances. Says jazz is an awful bore. He doesn't seek life's romances. So we wonder what on earth he is living for. Oh, the gentleman obviously doesn't believe in moonlight walks. Alone with a girl and he'd say, yes, that's what he'd do. He's one of those gents who just haven't the sense to thrill to a kiss. Like me and you and you. Oh, the gentleman obviously doesn't believe in temptation for his reputation has had vaccination against fascination. Oh, the gentleman obviously doesn't believe in dancing. He doesn't like fights or wrestling. He doesn't know how to swim. He trembles at you mention horses. And so plays such a strenuous game to him. The gentleman obviously doesn't believe in modern art. Bathing beauties and models are all taboo. Why, he wouldn't chance even one secret glance at a lovely pendant like you and you.
Is a man who really doesn't need any introduction in Shell Chateau or anywhere in the United States, for that matter. He's a fellow who's responsible for millions of kids and grown-ups, too, saying, you nasty man. He's really one of the most lovable comedians that radio has ever produced. And now he's in pictures, too. Last year, he made a picture called College Rhythm. And it was so successful, they brought him back to make another. The new picture's called Collegiate, and it will be released this fall. I am very, very happy to have him with us in Shelterdo tonight. And here he is, Joe Tanner.
Good evening, Mr. Jolson.
Oh, no. Mr. Jolson just stepped out. I'm Mr. Olson, the manager.
Oh, you're Mr. Olson, the manager?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Alan, maybe you can help me out. You see, I'd like to go on the radio.
Yeah?
Yes.
Do you realize where you are, young man?
No.
This is Shell Chateau.
Chateau.
What do you want to do on the radio?
Me?
I say, what do you want to do on the radio?
Oh, no.
Well, haven't you anything prepared?
No.
Oh, I see. You want to do something impromptu.
Huh?
I say you want to do something impromptu.
No, I want to do it right here.
Hey, how did you get in here? Listen, boys, will you please close that
yeah,
back door?
Yeah, close the back door. Bastard.
Tell me something. What can you do?
Oh, me? Oh, I can do most anything. I can sing, dance, and ride a pogo stick, and tell jokes, wait on tables, do imitations. I wait on tables.
You wait on tables, I see. Who sent you here?
Gracie Allen.
Gracie Allen? Say, Gracie's a very dear friend of mine. Do you know Gracie Allen well?
Oh, do I? He wasn't a smart. Why, we're related.
Related? Is that so?
Yeah.
What, cousins?
Well, not a death, you see. Her dog and my dog are brothers.
Her dog and your brother. Well, I'm sorry, young man. You can't appear before the public the way you look.
Well, what's the matter?
Well, your face is all scratched up.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
Oh, I had a terrible accident.
Is that
oh,
so?
Terrible.
What was the matter?
I pushed my face through a window.
Well, that's too bad. How did that happen?
Well, I don't know. Last night I come home, you see, and somebody walked the window in our house, and I thought it was open.
You say you give imitations.
Yeah, right? I give imitations.
That's all.
Very difficult and excruciatingly still.
For instance,
my most difficult imitation is a fish climbing a tree.
Well, that's ridiculous. Fish don't climb trees.
Well, that's what makes it so difficult. If you know what I mean, and I think you do. Coo!
Wait a minute. Just a minute. You can't use that line.
What?
Well, that belongs to Beatrice Lilly.
Beatrice Lilly? Who is he? I never heard of him.
Who is he?
Yeah.
Beatrice Lilly is a woman.
A woman? Well, no wonder I never heard of him.
And you're the fellow that knows all about the radio,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Did you ever hear of Eddie Cantor? Did you ever hear of Georgie Jethro? Did you ever hear of Adam and Eve?
Adam and Eve? Oh, yes, I've heard of Adam and Eve.
Oh, so you have heard of Adam and Eve.
Only I forget what program they're on.
All right, I'll tell you what you do, young fella. You come back here a week from last Saturday, and we'll see whether we can...
Listen, Major, I haven't told my jokes yet.
Oh.
I tell jokes, and I sing later.
You sing and you tell jokes, I say. Yeah. What kind of jokes do you tell?
Two people jokes. Yeah, you got to have two people to tell them. So I'll go out and get another fellow.
Well, wait a minute. What's the matter with me?
I don't know. What's the matter? You sick?
Well, I mean, I can help you.
Oh, you want to help me? I'm
sure.
All right. You be one of the people, and I'll be the other fellow.
All right.
Now, I'll come up, and I'll meet you over here. See, and I'll come up and say, hello, what's your name?
Sam.
Hey, you said it was Olson.
Well, Sam Olson.
Oh, Sam Olson.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, hello, Sam.
Yeah.
And you say to me, hello, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
That's my name, Joe.
I see. That's nice.
And then I'll say to you, why is a kiss over a telephone like a straw hat?
You're going to say that to me?
Mm-hmm.
Why is a kiss over a telephone like a straw hat?
Yes. And then you say,
Like that.
And then I'll
shout with
you.
I say,
We separate now.
Yeah, all right. Hello there. Hello
there.
Hello.
No, you got to ask. You got to do it with
feeling.
Oh, you want
me to do it with gusto?
No, just do it with me.
Hello there.
Hello,
Joe.
Why is the kiss over a telephone like a straw hat?
Because it isn't tough.
I'm going out and get another fella.
Gusto,
listen. You say I don't know. You see, I
tell a joke.
Yeah, well, give me another one.
Because if you tell it, there's no use to me coming up here.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I got another one.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe.
I'll say to you, what's the easiest way to raise corned beef and cabbage?
You want to say that to me?
Mm-hmm.
What's the easiest way to raise corned beef and cabbage?
Yeah. Let me say. I'll tell a joke.
All right.
It's my turn. What's the easiest way to raise corned beef and cabbage?
With a knife and fork.
No, never easy. This is the last one.
Oh, all right.
And I'll say to you, what kind of a chicken lays the longest?
You want to say that to me?
That's what I say to you.
What kind of a chicken lays the longest?
You say to me.
Yeah.
Can you say, I don't know?
Sure. Sure I can.
I'll tell the joke.
All right.
Give me a chance.
All right.
Oh,
hello, Joe.
What counts? A dead one. He didn't get your knife and fork in that one. Well, I think I'm going to sing here now.
All right. Go ahead and sing.
He was a simple country lad. She was the only girl he had, and he loved her in the biggest way. Half past two in the afternoon, said, my dear, I will leave you soon, but we'll meet again tonight, okay? Please don't cry, I know you're feeling blue. Until tonight, remember, sweet, I do. When the pussy willow whispers to the catnip.
Hey, cut it out, will you? He's kissing me. that the donkeys don't dig donuts all day. But where's the bushy?
Joe Penner, thank you again and again. And now I'd like to sing another song from that picture, Shipmates Forever. This one is called, I'd Rather Listen to Your Eyes. Dubin and Warren's latest song. All right, Victor, let's have it.
Just a glance at a dance, and in my heart I knew that if I ever should care, that I would care for you. So I heard not a word. Your eyes began to say a lot of things your lips have never told me to this very day. Every time your I won't listen, I'm too wise. I would rather listen to your eyes. They have told me lots of things, dear, that your better self denies. So I'd rather listen to those eyes. There's nothing could ever say that could convey the promise I've been waiting for. I look in your eyes and realize that they can tell me more. Eyes can be sincere and truthful. Lips can tell a lot of lies. So I'd rather listen to your eyes. Every time your lips say no, sir, I won't listen, I'm too wise. I would rather listen to your eyes. They have told me lots of things, dear, that your better self denies. So I'd rather listen to your eyes. There's nothing you could ever say that could convey the promise I've been waiting for. I look in your eyes and realize that they cannot tell me more. Eyes can be sincere and truthful. Lips can tell a lot of lies. So I'd rather listen to
we want to read you part of a letter that recently came in to Mr. Jolson. It's from a businessman in Brooklyn, New York. He writes, Dear Al, since the beginning of your program, we have changed our gasoline to Super Shell. This change has enabled our delivery cars to average more mileage per gallon.
Now, there's a money-saving idea in that letter. You really run your car very much like a delivery truck. 4 out of every 5 miles you drive are on short hops around town. Little trips to the stores, church, school, movies, and friends' homes. The gas that goes farther in a delivery truck will also give you better mileage on all this stop-and-go driving. You don't have to buy gasoline so often when you get Super Shell. You see, this new type, balanced gasoline, cuts down the amount of gasoline you ordinarily waste on stop-and-go driving. By using Super Shell, you can save as much as a cupful in starting and warming up the engine a single time, and up to another cupful on just 10 minutes of rapid acceleration. Begin right away to get this saving. Have your tank filled with Super Shell tomorrow. at one of the 30,000 neighborly Shell stations from coast to coast.
And I hope, ladies and gentlemen, you're all back in Shell Chateau next Saturday night, because next week we're going to have another great show. We're going to have a little boy called Jackie Hughes that I discovered. He's 11 years old. He's the greatest singer I've ever heard in my life. Henry Fonda, Hollywood's newest leading man, who co-starred with Janet Gaynor in The Farmer Takes a Wife, and that great pair of Broadway comedians, Stone and Lee. And if that wasn't enough already, get this. We're going to have the charming, radiant girl whose latest picture is the toast of America, the star of Top Hat, Ginger Rogers. So remember, it's a date next Saturday night, and don't forget the next time you're out driving and you need gas, drop in at your nearest Shell service station. This is Al Jolson saying from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Carlos. Thank you, Carlos. Thank you, sisters, and the same goes for you, brothers. Thank the family every Saturday night. Thank you kindly for the letters you write. This is Aldi, your pally Weldy, and I wanna promise you, Shell Chateau will bring you guest stars. We hope they'll be the best stars. And now I'll say good night to you.
Next week at this time, when Al Jolson presents Jackie Hughes, Henry Fonda, Stone and Lee, and Ginger Rogers. Musical selections tonight included Rose in Her Hair from Broadway Gondolier and The Temptation from Going Hollywood. Burton Bennett, your announcer. This program has come to you from the NBC studios in Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.